In the introduction to the message, Jimmy brought up a great point. Do we want to grow? Is that what you want in your life today? Do you want to grow in your relationship with Christ? And if you do, it's going to take some nurturing, and it's got to be intentional. It doesn't just happen without intentional efforts at moving forward. And no matter where we are spiritually, there's always more we can learn. There are always more positive steps that we need to be taking. And that's what James mentions to us here in our passage of Scripture that was read earlier. Some very practical and very powerful steps on how we can move together in our spiritual lives. So where does it start? It starts with this. Number one, I really give myself to God. I mean, really give myself to Him. Not just go on the surface, not just deal with it in a few ways, but above and beyond, really give myself to God. That's what the word submit means. Submit in the Greek language is a military term. It means to obey. It means to voluntarily line up under the authority of someone else. And in our situation, it means to line up under the authority of God. It means God is my boss. He is my leader. He is my Lord. Is He that in your life today? Can you say that that is your goal, your priority? In our culture, you've probably seen a lot of books and seminars about how to be assertive, about how to claim your rights, about how to move ahead, how to be aggressive and move forward. They're everywhere. But when was the last time you ever saw a conference or a book about how to be submissive, how to turn yourself over to the authority of the Lord as our God and our leader? They're not quite as popular in our culture as the other brand, are they? So today, how can we really give ourselves to God? I want to give you some specific ways that you can do that. The first way is to celebrate something together. If you are a follower of Christ, celebrate the unique way that you have been saved, that you have been brought in to the family of God. Celebrate that because it is a gift. I love Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. As Paul is writing these words, we read them. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, and by the way, how did that appear? When God came here in human flesh, that's how much He reached out to us to display His love for us. He saved us. How? Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, that's a reference to being born again, to being a follower of Jesus, and renewed by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've done much research into other world religions or not, but I want you to recognize this. Every single world religion, with one exception, says that the way that one is forgiven and is able to go to a home in paradise is by earning it. It's by achieving certain human efforts. Again, good deeds that we do. And what's the one exception? The one exception is Christianity. Christianity teaches us that none of us can earn our salvation. And that ought to always be in our hearts, no matter how long you've been a follower of Christ, to continue to be amazed and in awe at the goodness of God, that He would do that in spite of the fact that we can't earn it. Jesus Christ won our place in the family of God through His sacrificial death on the cross. And where do good deeds come in? They follow up our decision to follow Christ. After we become Christians, that's when our good deeds matter. We need to make sure that we honor Him in that way. Here's a second way that we can really give ourselves to God. How do we do that? We need to recognize all of God's attributes, all of his characteristics, all of who he is. I know lunchtime is coming, right? You're probably starting to feel it already. A little bit of grumbling in your stomach maybe, and I don't know what you'll have for lunch, but maybe it'll be one of those nice lunch buffets. Isn't that fun to kind of go through the food and look at what you really want to get and then pick out the stuff you really like, the food you like best? That'll be great for lunch, but I don't recommend that you treat God that way. Because here's what we do sometimes. We look at God and his attributes and his characteristics, and we say, yeah, I really like that one. I'm going to cling to this one. I'm going to focus on it. What do we really love? We love to talk about his mercy. We love to talk about his love, his unconditional love. But how much do we talk about his justice or even the wrath of God? Those are also parts of his character, and we cannot neglect them. We cannot avoid them. Most people today, when they think of God, they don't go to the Bible to see who he is. They just make up their own version of God. This is who I think God ought to be. This is what I think he's like. So this is what I will focus on. I want you to know that one of God's attributes and characteristics is righteous judgment. That is part of who he is. Look with me at, again, what the Bible says, Romans chapter 2, verse 5. And here's what we read. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. Notice who is storing it up. Is that what God would choose? It's not what he wants. He does not want to display his wrath and his righteous judgment. But if you choose to ignore him and go through life and put him on the back burner, you're storing it up for yourself. It's what you're doing when his righteous judgment will be revealed. You know what God does not do? He does not force any of us to follow him. That's not what he does. He presents the plan. He lays it out and he says, now it's your choice. Would you like to follow me? Would you like to give your life to me? And if you say no, what you are choosing is that one day you are going to face the righteous judgment of God, and by your choice, you will be separated from him for eternity. I want to recommend that you say yes to his invitation to become a part of the family. And if you are a Christ follower today, what I'd really love to invite you to do, please ask others to join you in his family. Please reach out to those who have not yet said yes to Jesus Christ. Let's invite everyone to know him so that one day they will not have to experience his righteous judgment. And if we're going to grow, we've been talking about it a lot, we always do, we need to be willing to dive into the word. That's another way that we are going to draw close to him. Dive into his word. Yield to his word. Now, most of us would never do this. We would never take our Bible and take a large pair of scissors and just cut out the pages that we don't like and throw them away. We would not do that. That would be something that would be really a tough thing to do. But can we be honest with ourselves here today? Are we living that way? Are we just cutting some of his word out of our lives? Or are we looking at it regularly, consistently? There's always new truths that we can learn. Sometimes we tend to ignore the difficult or the challenging parts of the Bible. Again, that is part of his plan for us. What do we do by doing that? We cling to these unhealthy lifestyle choices that are in opposition to the word of God, that are going to hurt us and hurt others. We do that even when they're not good for us. If we really want to follow God, if we really want to be close to him, we've got to be open to the full context of his word. I love what the psalmist says in the 119th Psalm. Look at verses 14 and following. He says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Think about that. It says, I really rejoice in following your word. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Here's what God tells us. In his word, he says, you are going to face difficult times. Challenges are a part of this world. And I want to ask you this. When they come, will you still trust him? Even when they are difficult, because they will happen. Will you accept these challenging assignments? If you really want to walk closely with God, you must be willing to say yes to that. When Peter was talking with Jesus about John's future that Jesus had already mentioned, here's what Jesus says in response in John 21. He answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. To Peter, he says, hey, man, I've got an assignment for you. Don't be thinking about others' lives, about what's happening in their life. Peter, will you accept this challenging assignment? And the question that God has for us today is, will you and I accept a challenging assignment that comes our way? Or will we just gripe and complain about it? Because they will come. I was reading a story this week, and it's not one of the most challenging stories I've ever read about people who have gone to jail, because his stay there was fairly short compared with a large number of other Christians who are persecuted for their faith. But in the country of Laos, it's illegal to share the gospel with anyone and to invite anybody to follow Christ. It is against the law there. And here's what happens to this young man, a 23-year-old young man named James. He was in Bible school. He was arrested and charged for something that he didn't do. Here's what his assignment was. He tells the organization Open Doors about his ordeal there. And it happened on August the 20th, 2015, just almost 2 years ago. He decides to help out his brother, who's also a student in the Bible college. His brother was supposed to go to villages and do surveys, ask the names, the ages, and the occupations of the people who live in this particular village. And he wasn't able to go to this one particular village, and so his brother James says, I'll go there, I'll do it. He went to the village leader first and said, is it okay if I just take a census? I'll ask their names, their ages, their jobs. And he said, sure, no problem. So he went to one house, finished that, went to the second house, and got arrested. 10 men came there, captured him, took him to jail. They accused him of sharing the gospel and of converting people to Christianity. He had not done that there. Now, it would have been okay in my book if he had, but they still put him in jail for that. Now, I want you to hear his words while he is there, and this is what inspired me so much. He said, in jail, I learned whom I can trust. He says, I learned to depend on the one who gives me strength, the one I know will help me. He says, God has planned everything. I couldn't blame him. I couldn't even question him. I knew that jail was still part of his plan for my life. He goes on in his encounter and says these words, there were two nights when I dreamed that I was already dead. God reminded me that my life was not my own, but something he has given me. I knew that I had an uncertain future and that seeing my family again might take a very long while. What I know, though, is that everything that happens is part of God's plan for me. I was released on December the 21st, 2015, when I learned that I was finally able to walk free, I felt numb. And when I read that sentence, I would say, well, I don't blame him for going through jail for 4 months and dealing with all this, but listen to what he says. I felt numb, not because of anything that happened to me, but because I was concerned about the other prisoners that I was leaving now. Think again about his example. He said, some of them do not have a family to help them. When I arrived home, I broke down. I hugged my parents. I missed them so, so much. The love of God and that from my relatives strengthened me. Prison was faith stretching and faith strengthening. There is nothing else to do but trust God. These are his words. I was so humbled and so inspired by this young man's unconditional love of God and faith in him, because sometimes life brings prisons. It could be an illness. It could be difficult people that we encounter. The deaths of family members and friends. Maybe traumatic experiences that we've had in the past. Discrimination. Loss of a job. Challenging work situations. What do we do with these? When these come our way, what do? The temptation is sometimes to say, God, why? I'm blaming you. To whine. To develop a bad attitude. But would you be willing, even when tough assignments come, to receive them as part of God's sovereign purpose to conform you more into the image of Christ, to help you to grow through those tough times, and to be an example to him and to others? Here's what God says to us through James. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Approach him in tough times. Pursue him. Look for his hand. His purpose is everywhere. There's purpose in everything. Develop that consistent, quiet time with God. Be sure that you spend time with other believers. Worship like you're doing today. Find a way to serve him. Share him with others. That's when you'll really grow, and he'll really grow closer to you. It's like the old phrase goes, if you are not close to God, guess who moved? It's not him. It's us. And once we're close to God, once we have his energy, his input, his presence, then we're ready to do some battle. And that's what James tells us next. We need to stand against the evil one. We have an opponent. His name is Satan. And we need to recognize his work. Here's what James says. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will run from you. Here's a great approach in dealing with Satan. Do not overestimate his power and authority, but at the same time, do not underestimate his desire to destroy you and to create challenges for you. I want you to understand this. Satan was forever defeated at the cross of Christ. He is the loser. I will state that publicly. But at the same time, when you seek to be serious about drawing close to God, he's going to come your way. And he is going to seek to attack you and to discourage you. So what do we need to do? We need to understand his job description. We need to understand the things that Satan do so that we can be ready when they come. What's the first one? Deception. We're going to hit these quickly. But Satan is a deceiver. Look at John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. His greatest effort at deception is to try to convince you that if you will do things that are sinful, that you'll love it and you'll really, really enjoy it. That's what he seeks to do, to deceive. He tries to make horrible things look attractive. Don't believe those lies. And also realize this, Satan also promotes spiritual blindness. That's another part of his job description. We see that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this age, notice that's a little g God, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Here's what my experience is with people who have not yet chosen to follow Christ. If they've not yet made a commitment to be in the Christian family. Here is why. Usually they are not focusing on Christ, because if they did, it would make such a difference. That's what I invite everybody to do. What happens? They've had bad experiences with religion, and all of us have. I don't like religion. They've had bad experiences with church people somewhere along the way. They've had some kind of negative experience, and they focus on that instead of focusing on the pure one, the true holy one, Jesus Christ. Satan would love to have you look at the imperfect church instead of the perfect one, Jesus Christ. What does Satan also do? He attacks our mind. Our mind is our greatest spiritual tool. So in his job description, he wants to try to undo that. We read that in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Eve and Adam, they both yielded to Satan's temptations back in the Garden of Eden. You may remember that story. And what did that lead to? That led to sin entering the world picture. It led to brokenness and pain. And here's what Satan said to Eve. Hey, Eve, you're not going to be hurt if you eat from the fruit of that one tree in the center of the garden that God said for you not to. You would love that fruit. And if you eat it, you're going to become like God. You'll be your own master. And that's what the world system says. Hey, be in control of your own life. Do your own thing. Be your own God. Satan really wants to steal the word of God away from all of us. That's his heart's desire, to steal the word. Look at Mark 4, 15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Satan hates it when the word gets planted in your heart. He loves it to hear that the Bible in America is the number one best seller and the most unread best seller in our country, where it sits around on tables or is in our phones and we never get to it. We never read it. Satan loves it when he hears about that. And something else that he is part of his job description is this. Satan hates life. He hates life. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Again, we read that verse that we read earlier. For he is a liar and the father of lies. It makes sense that since Jesus is the life, do you remember when he said that about himself? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he refers to himself as life, that Satan would oppose everything that represents life. So Satan is pro-choice, and he loves abortions. He loves drive-by shootings. He loves it when there are terrorist attacks and murders. When war breaks out somewhere across the planet, he rejoices. But you know what Satan opposes most of all? What he really, really hates? He opposes the spreading of the best news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that Satan is really a strong opponent of the Great Commission? He loves it when we just stay focused in our own world and don't share the gospel with others. And when we do share the gospel, let me just promise you this, you're going to face opposition. You're going to face satanic attack. When Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, which is where he had gone on his second missionary journey, here's what he says in that letter, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. But brothers, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, and then Paul just adds, in person, not in thought. In other words, he says, I'm still thinking about you. I can't be there physically, but I am thinking about you. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. In other words, he wanted to go there to promote the Great Commission. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. Satan loves it when we keep Christ to ourselves, when we never talk about him with other people. He loves that. He's excited when he sees consumer church people who come into facilities and programs to find out what's in it for them so that they can receive something from what happens. Let's look at one more important step of spiritual growth. We've seen two of them that James gave us. Let's look at one more. I will continue to grow when I confess and repent on an ongoing basis. Not just when I start my relationship with Christ, but in order to keep growing as a follower of Christ. Look at verses 8 and 9. Wash your hands, you sinners. That's me. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That happens to me sometimes. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. These words sound so rough, don't they? If we don't understand the Greek language, they sound so negative. But there is an important and powerful truth here. Basically, what is God trying to say here? He says, take sin seriously. Don't just overlook it. We've got to deal with it along the way. The words grieve, mourn, and wail bring a spirit of brokenness there. That word mourn is a funeral type of grief. It is a deep, heart-rending issue. It represents being broken before God. Be willing to be spiritually broken before him. Die to self, so that you can experience the power of God and that human power of sin can be broken and we don't ever have to worry about death anymore. It's behind us. That word laughter in verse 9, it's the only time that it is used in the Greek New Testament. It's used in this form one time, and what it means, it's referring to this leisurely laughter of party animals, like a bunch of men going out clubbing on the night, partying away, enjoying this indulgent sinful behavior. Yeah, they're laughing out loud, but it's superficial. It's shallow. It will never last. Instead, Jesus says, hey, blessed are those who mourn over their sin and over the sin of the world, for they will be comforted. How can we experience that kind of special comfort? The only way is from God. The world system will never be able to give that to you. God can, and he does. You know, it's awesome when people try to comfort us. Maybe we've gone through a tough time, and they come up, and they show their love. They try to show the love of God. But the most important thing is that the greatest comfort we can ever receive in this world will come from God. We need to look to him. If you're going through a tough time of grief right now, make sure you're going to the source of the one who will help you and walk with you through this time. This young man from Laos that I read about, he was experiencing that kind of comfort from God in the middle of his imprisonment. When you turn from sin, when you choose to continue to repent, remember it's a lifelong growing process, you will experience the presence and the peace and the comfort of God. What does confession and repentance include? Two categories. Notice James says, wash your hands. And he says, purify your hearts. What do they represent? Your hands represent actions, things you do. But then it goes internal beyond that. James says, purify your hearts. You know, for believers that are growing, if you're really growing in Christ, you know what the greatest challenges in life become? Our attitudes and our motives and our spirits, not just what we do, but why we do it, the motivation behind our obedience to God. When we choose to really give ourselves to God, when we choose to stand in his strength against Satan, when we choose to confess our sins and repent, we are going to face unparalleled blessing. Look at how James closes our text today. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And by the way, humbling yourself is not a very popular worldly step to take. The world says, make a name for yourself, be seen, be known, be prominent. God says, humble yourself before me, before the Lord. How? Because when we're in his presence, we will be struck by his awe, by his presence, by his majesty, by how incredible he is. Think about this. Do you remember the story of the time that Jesus calmed the storm when the disciples were in the boat? In that passage, the disciples were more nervous and afraid and fearful after the storm than they were during the storm. Have you ever thought about why? After Jesus Christ showed his awesome power over nature, these disciples realized that they were in the awesome presence of God. And they were humbled by that. And as a result, they were blessed by his presence. In Luke 5, there's the story about how Peter had gone out and done a rough job fishing. He had not caught anything all night long. And finally, Jesus says, hey, why don't you drop the net over here? And Peter probably was thinking inside, what does this carpenter know about fishing? You know? So what does he do? He does it. He drops the net there, and the fish were waiting to do backflips and jump into the net. It was amazing. The net begins to break. And do you remember what Peter said after that? He said to Jesus, leave me because I am a sinful man. He humbled himself before a holy God and gave himself fully to them. Peter knows that he's in the presence of God. He catches just a glimpse of our awesome Creator. I want to ask you today, will you catch that glimpse of how awesome he is? Will you humble yourself before him so that he can lift you up and turn you into his follower? That's what he's inviting us to do here today. Man, there's so much we can celebrate. Have you noticed the red shirts here today? A lot of them kind of sitting over in this area. And earlier I was going to invite the welcomer, Angela, to say, all of you who are wearing red shirts, you've worked hard all week, you can take a nap during Scott's message. And they didn't even need that invitation. They did it anyway. Man, they are so awesome. They served in a great way in Tennessee, and I am proud of them. And we're celebrating all the great things that they did, but also I've already heard God did great things in their lives as well as they served. Do you know that's what happens when we serve? We're the ones that are more blessed. Hey, our operations team is inviting our church body to come out on Saturday. You may have already seen it in the bulletin, from 8 until 2, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done around here. I see this every day, folks. One of the privileges I have of being the under-shepherd here is to look and see people faithfully serving. There was one day this week I was on my worship walk, and there was a retired couple and their grown daughter out in the back chopping up trees that had been cut down and taking them and putting them into the dumpster so they could be picked up and taken away. I was so humbled by their service and by their sacrifice. And by the way, operations must have found out that I am in a meeting in Nashville that day for a mission organization that I'm a part of, because by my not coming, I won't mess anything up, because I would want to be here with you. God willing, I'll be leaving about the time you finish to come back. But if you would like to serve, you are needed. I am so thankful for the people who showed up and were willing to take the names of kids from our Vacation Bible School week and to follow up on the parents or grandparents or guardians of those kids and let them know about decisions that have been made. I've already been hearing great feedback from their outreach. Maybe some of you are here because of that today. We're glad you're here. And those kids know that they're loved, and families know that. And you know what? It doesn't matter how they respond, because sometimes when we reach out, they don't ever get back to us. Phone calls aren't returned. They don't follow up. That's okay. Our job is just to reach out The joy comes from serving Him in that way. Today, how can you draw closer to Christ? What needs to happen in your life for that to occur? Have you really, really given yourself to God? Beyond the surface, you're diving in deep. You're giving Him your all. Are you facing some tough times? Maybe even recognizing some spiritual warfare? Great! That means you're on a good path. If you never face opposition from the evil one, that's a time to really evaluate if you're being effective for the kingdom. Because He doesn't mess with people that aren't making a difference for the kingdom. He really focuses on those who are making a difference. Hey, come and join us next Sunday night. Kelly, one of our own Faith Family members here, is going to be sharing a concert that night. It'll be a great time of fellowship. Reach out, invite a friend. Check out what's going on. Let's grow together. Amen? Let's keep growing together. Father, thank You for Your wonderful story today in James 4. So easy to run past these verses and not see the richness of them. We've tried to dig in, and I know I didn't even go deep enough. But Father, I pray that You'll speak through every life here today. I pray that You'll help us all to see how we can move forward, how we can grow more in our relationships with You. Lord, I pray that You'll show us our part in that. If some are struggling today, help them to recognize that maybe some of that is from satanic opposition and that they'll stand strong. They don't have to win the battle. You've won it. But God, help them to do it in Your power and Your strength. Give people hope beyond today, Father. I pray that You'll be a great encourager for all of our body today. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Today we want to invite you to just listen to the Spirit as He speaks to you about steps that need to be taken, how I can really give myself to God, how I can stand even stronger against satanic opposition, how I can make sure that I am growing, that I am moving together in service to Him. If God's leading any of you to make decisions public today, we're here to help you in any way we can. Why don't you stand with us as we sing, as we pray, as we listen to the voice of God? Won't you come?
Father, we thank You for Your creation, for Your word, for Your love and Your salvation. And Father, we just thank You that through Christ that every day is a good day. Father, we come now and express our thanks and love and worship with our tithes and offerings. And Father, we lift them up to You that they'll be used to grow and express and give to Your kingdom, Father, and make it great. And Father, we just thank You for all Your many blessings. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
They say sometimes you win some, and sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh, right now I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, 'cause I know you're able, and I know you can. I know you're able, and I know you can, save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt will all go away if you'll just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Father, as we depart today, Lord, I just ask that you would challenge us this week to strengthen us in our faith, draw